Some scriptures, it's easy to say those words, thanks be to God. While others, they hang in our mind and upon our heart with such heaviness, we continue to contemplate them and find true meaning, or at least meaning in our life, in those words that are shared for us as Holy Scripture. This text today can be one of those that presents questions for us as people of faith, or maybe even people just trying to have faith. Oftentimes, Jesus spoke to his people understanding that his audiences varied, as did the trouble and peril in life. So sometimes he would share his teaching with parable. And in those parables, by saying things like this, "Those who have ears, let them listen." And you know, I suspect that Jesus used that technique for another reason as well. It wasn't just "those who had ears, let them listen." But those who need to hear this, maybe they'll hear this. And those who need to hear that will perhaps hear that. His message was far-reaching to people with far-reaching needs. And you know, that miracle of grace still occurs for us today. I can't tell you how many times I've preached a sermon and I felt like I had my A game on. You know about that A game. We experience it sometimes in golf, or maybe in cheer, or in school, when it just all comes together right. And times when I have that A game and it just fell on deaf ears and nobody got anything out of it. Wasn't their fault. Probably more mine than anything else. And then other times where I feel like I have nothing to offer, and God, through the miracle of grace, transforms my humble message into words of life for people in need. And then there's those other occasions where I feel like I have laid out a central point that I wanted to make to people. And then after the message, someone comes up to me and said, "Oh, I loved your sermon. You said this to me." And I didn't say that at all. It's not what I meant to say anyway. But somehow, through God's grace and the Holy Spirit, what they needed to hear with the ears to listen was transformed to them a balm for their soul and spirit. So Jesus shares this reading today, and I pray and I yearn with you that we find in it words of life, words of inspiration and encouragement for our journey as people of faith. Just last evening, as I was just about to go to bed, I'd stayed up late. And as I've told you before, sometimes my youngest, Luke Hill, 11, will want to have a theological conversation at times such as that. He came down to get him a glass of water, and he had a little bit of tears in his eyes. And as I've told you before, my Luke is a real animal lover. He just cherishes dogs. And it just breaks his heart. He'd seen an image and heard about animals being abused. And that just breaks his heart. He had those big crocodile tears. He said, "Dad, I just don't understand how anybody could do something like that. Why does bad stuff like this have to happen in our world?" Deep theological question at midnight on Saturday night, right? Friends, I share with Luke what I say to you. There are things that happen in this world that oftentimes do not make sense to us. There's things that sometimes we can't explain away as pastors or as parents or as people just trying to make sense of what seems like a senseless world at times. We search for meaning. Why there are weeds in our midst. Why there's evil. Why things happen in this world that hurt us. Maybe we expand our question is, how can a loving God allow such things like that to exist in this world? We know, for me as a daddy and as a pastor, I have to remember that what Scripture tells me most of all about our God's nature is that God is good and never intended for brokenness in our world, and yearns like any parent or person of love for us to know good in this broken world. And the promise I have in the scripture is this, that this world of brokenness and whys and things that we can't make reason of is not our home. You see, that's the lasting message of our scripture, where I think Jesus speaks of the kingdom to come. The kingdom where there is no more questions. There are no more weeds. There is no pain that surprises us and snatches loved ones unexpectedly out of our lives. You see, that's the promise that we have in Jesus Christ. And as I bowed with Luke last night in prayer, I said, Luke, the best thing I can say is that we'll understand better in heaven, and that's the place where God's going to make it all right. We search for meaning, and we yearn to make sense out of the reasons and why of life. Sometimes people say, well, I just believe everything happens for a reason. While at other times, some people find more comfort by saying, I don't believe it so much everything happens for a reason, but maybe somehow with God's help, we can make reason out of everything that happens. You see, one deals with our emotions, our response to bad things, while others deals with our reaction to the bad things of life. We try to make sense and respond knowing that this promise of Scripture reigns true, I believe, for all of us. In Romans 8:28, where Paul says that God works for good in everything. You know, I'm grateful for the promise of that text, to know that in all the bad and destruction and the weeds walking around in our world, that God is not a part of the bad. God is working for good, to comfort us in our peril, to give us strength along our journey, to give us life in the midst of death. But you know, I also celebrate what that scripture doesn't say. It doesn't say that everything that happens is good in God's eyes. And neither does it say that God does everything. God works for good in everything. God loves us and seeks to restore us to the fullness of His grace. You know, speaking of weeds, and that's the sermon title today, Leon shared with me, he said, I came over here yesterday and I was working on the crepe myrtles. I told you you're going to make the sermon, Leon. He was working on the crepe myrtles and he did a little weeding in the flower bed. He said, I come in here and check on the church and I look at the bulletins and the sermon's titled Weeds. He said, I don't really know what it meant, but it had to mean something. I asked Leon if he was well schooled at pulling the weeds and not pulling the flowers. He said, oh yeah, I've been doing it a long time. I remember when we were first married, Manya and I was going to do some flower bed weeding, and I pulled some weeds, and in the process, I messed up a little bit. Has anybody ever messed up a little bit in the weed pulling process? Let me tell you how I messed up in two ways. I pulled some stuff that shouldn't have been pulled, and I left some stuff that should have been pulled. Man, y'all feel my pain? In other words, I wasn't real apt at distinguishing at times what was weed and what was flower. You know our scripture today. Jesus says these words of life. He says to us as the church, as friends to people along their journey, look, we're not in the business as people of faith to determine what's weed and what's flower. Because truth is, we're going to mess up. We're going to mess up like me as a novice gardener. We're going to pull stuff we shouldn't have pulled. We might leave some things we shouldn't have left. That's not our job, to determine weed from wheat in the word of our text, because we're not too good at it. As I visited with the high schoolers this morning, they gave me words of life in this text that I hadn't thought of. They said the call to the scripture, it seems like to them, It's not so much to worry about what's wheat and what's weed, but just in our own journey to try to be wheat, to try to be fruit and nourishment to the world around us. That's the call of faith. Not to be the judge and determiner of who is what and where, but to know that that's God's job. And our role as a church is to nourish a people hungering for His grace. And that's what we're going to do at Vacation Bible School this week. We're going to nourish young children with the love and laughter of Jesus Christ in His name and His church. We're going to bring offerings to celebrate the ministry of Living Waters of the World. And then we're going to let all of us older disciples of faith come and share in a fellowship of homemade ice cream, of love, laughter, and fellowship in the name of Jesus. Growing in the faith, being wheat in every way we know how, and striving to nurture even the weeds that might be in our midst. Yeah, there are weeds here today. And the closer we look, even in the mirror at ourselves, we find that at times we're a little weedy. Or at least we have been at points along our journey. Times when the world would look upon us and see us less attractive, less than holy, less than fruitful to those around us. But God, through His grace, didn't give up on us. Isn't that the good news of the gardener in the heavenly realm? That God is patient as the gardener of our life to mold us and make us as people of fruit and life. I remember pastoring once a dear lady named Miss Pauline, and Miss Pauline was a photographer. She took pictures of these brilliant little flowers, but when she took the pictures, you couldn't tell that they were little flowers. When she blew up the image, my goodness, she thought they were huge and gigantic flowers. And they had such detail and precision. And I told Miss Pauline, these flowers are so unique, I've never seen them before. Where do you find them? She said, well, these are unique flowers, and they're often overlooked because they're so small. She said they're easily overlooked and people don't realize them as the native plants that they are. Some people call them wildflowers, and yet still others call them weeds, she whispered, as if it was a foreign word. As if it should have never been uttered. What the world looked upon as weeds, Miss Pauline had the gift of looking beyond what they could be with a little nurturing, with a little care and intimate gardening. She transformed their image from weeds into native plants of beauty. You know, that's what I think God does for us. I'm grateful that Jesus says in our text that the judgment is not until the end. That the beauty of life and faith in Christ is that we're not the judge. That God Almighty and our Savior Jesus Christ is. And there's nothing that yearns to bring joy to our God more than for all of us to be part of the family of faith forever. God doesn't give up yearning, striving to transform us to become something more than weeds, but wheat to nourish the world and, yes, have our most full lives. You know, a few weeks ago we had a fellowship meal. We eat a lot around here, don't we? My goodness. We had a fellowship meal over in the Gregg Center, and we celebrated the ministry of our choir, and several people had worked to make that event a success. And the tables were decorated beautifully, and they had flowers. Diane had put together some beautiful floral arrangements. She tried to say, I'm not a florist or I'm not a flower person, but hey, I'm not buying that excuse. They looked spectacular, didn't they, Miss Ann? They were beautiful. You know what I noticed in that arrangement that Diane constructed for us those days? As I looked upon those, I saw that there were some flowers more spectacular than others. Some seemed rather modest, humble, while others seemed to just exude beauty with little effort at all. You know, I don't know if she put them there that way to make the humble and modest ones look a little better by being with the spectacular ones. Or was it because the humble and modest flowers made the more beautiful ones even more beauty? I don't know what the desire was, but I think a little bit of both was achieved. That's what we happen. When we mold those who are fully matured and beautiful people of grace with those who are still immature and haven't been transformed in all the beauty that God yearns them to be. We transform people through the love and grace of God, through their fullness, by choosing to look into their beauty and what they can be with the love of the Savior. Friends, our scripture today proclaims to us that when we look with the eyes of God, we can see wheat all around. May we, as people of faith, strive to be that wheat that nourishes the world and transforms wheat out of weeds. May God be glorified now and forever. Amen. As we seek to respond in faith this morning, I